This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. The impact of the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy is still being felt at the southern border. While the majority of the children that garnered national attention this summer have been reunited with their parents, there's another crisis in the making, a record number of migrant kids in federal custody, most of whom crossed the border alone. The federal government is increasingly relying on makeshift tent cities for these kids. One is in Tornillo, Texas, and one is in Miami-Dade County. And while this is not the first time the federal government has used tent encampments for migrant children, this time around, critics say it's a crisis of the government's own making. Joining me now to discuss this is Bob Moore, an independent journalist based in El Paso, who writes about the border for publications like The Texas Monthly and The Washington Post. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. And Mark Greenberg, the former head of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families under President Obama. Mark, thanks for being with the show.
And thanks very much.
So, Bob, let's start with you. The federal government now has more than 12,800 kids in its custody. That's five times as many as last year. How did we get here?
One, to update the stats, it's now well over 13,000, according to numbers I got yesterday. Children have been crossing the border unaccompanied from Central America in large numbers since around 2014. Mark can talk about how the Obama administration dealt with it, but the Trump administration has changed some policies. You have overall sort of this climate out there that makes immigrant families very unlikely to step forward and try to take sponsorship of these children who arrive at the border unaccompanied. And then you had the implementation of very specific policies, particularly a new requirement that any family that wants to sponsor one of these children who arrives at the border without a parent or guardian, which is usually another family member, must now submit their fingerprints to ICE as well as the fingerprints of any adult in the household. Most of these families, of course, have at least one undocumented member in the household, and this has just had a massive chilling effect on the willingness of these families to take these children in. So they're sitting in federal custody, which increasingly means thousands of them are sitting in these temporary facilities in tents, either in the desert here in Texas or out in Homestead, Florida.
Mark, I want to ask, we're being told that this is the highest number of migrant children being held in detention ever. But in 2014, as Bob mentioned, at that point you were with the Obama administration, there were far more unaccompanied children crossing the border. What's the difference between 2014 and today?
So first, that's exactly right, that this is the highest number ever in custody. It is not because this is the highest number of arrivals ever. The number of arrivals is greater this year than it was last year, but it's not nearly as high as it was in 2014 or 2016. So the reason that a much larger number of children are in custody now in the shelters is because when they arrive, they are staying in shelters for longer periods of time, and the rate at which they're being released has slowed dramatically. That's the basic difference.
And you know, as a reminder, again, you oversaw you at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families under the Obama administration, and that's when the first tent cities were used for these kids. Can you tell us, walk us through the decision then to use these?
Sure. We did use military facilities in 2014. They, in various ways, the physical, there are some physical differences between what these arrangements look like and what those did. But basically what happened in 2014 is there was a very large, unexpected increase in the number of arriving children. It had been ranging about 2,000 to 3,000 a month, and then that spring it went up to 6,000, then 9,000, then 10,000. So the numbers were very large. We didn't have adequate shelter capacity for them, and so we turned to the Department of Defense and used Defense Department facilities. They would be known in the jargon as influx facilities, and the reason that we needed to do that is that normally the shelters for the children are state-licensed and state-regulated. When you have to increase the shelters in a hurry, it's not possible to go through the state licensing process. So that's why we did it, but that's really different than the current situation where, again, it's not because of a sudden anticipated surge. It's because of policies and the enforcement environment.
Bob, I'm curious. The federal government opened this tent encampment in Tornillo, Texas, back in June, and you've visited this camp. Can you tell us what it was like?
At the time I was there, they had 20 housing tents set up and then a number of other tents for a dining hall and healthcare facilities and things like that. But in each of the tents set up to house children, you had 10 sets of bunk beds, so 20 beds in each tent. At the time, it was set up for about 400 people. It has now expanded dramatically and can house up to 3,800 children. The tents are well air-conditioned, which is a good thing. In Texas at that part of the summer, we had temperatures topping out at about 107 at that point in time. So, you know, the children were well taken care of from what I could see, well fed, not being educated. There's no schooling going on there. And at the time, because it was so hot, the children weren't allowed outside after 11 in the morning. Now, those restrictions would have eased a bit because the high temperatures now are in the low 90s and much safer for children. There are both boys and girls housed there. They're housed in separate facilities and do not appear to mingle. And when I was there, which was right after it opened in June, you did have a handful of children who had been forcibly separated from their parents at the border. But for the vast majority of kids who were there then and who are there now, these are the children who arrived at the border without a parent or guardian and then were taken into government custody. In the past, as Mark mentioned, they were able to place children much more quickly. An average of about 30 days during the Obama administration was what kids spent in detention. That number is now up to at least 59 days on average and probably significantly higher now because I think that figure dates to sometime in August. So you have children just staying longer and longer in these facilities. And it's also worth noting those averages do not include kids who just aren't placed with sponsors. So even those numbers are a bit misleading. They're in a shelter for a very, very long time now.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Bob Moore and Mark Greenberg, and we're talking about tent cities being used to house unaccompanied migrant children. Mark, how are these facilities supposed to work exactly? And going off of what Bob was just describing, and I want to bring in a section from a New York Times article that was written about that same facility, Tornillo, Texas. And it said that, you know, the children are sleeping in bunks. There's no school. They're given workbooks that they have no obligation to complete, and access to legal services is limited. And that's, again, from the New York Times. Mark, are these facilities functioning the way they were intended to function?
So the goal should be to not have to use influx facilities. The system normally operates with a set of standard shelters, which, as I had noted, are state licensed, state regulated, provide a range of services to the children, including education and legal services and recreation and mental health and case management and others. So that's the way the system is supposed to work. The problem is that children are spending longer and longer in this shelter system, and the lack of capacity has forced the administration to turn to these influx shelters. The influx shelters are not state licensed or regulated. They are having to set them up very quickly. For the children in them, the concerns are fundamentally that it is not a good thing for children to be in a mass shelter, and particularly to be in a mass shelter for an extended period of time. It's stressful, it's difficult for mental health, it increases the risks of children acting out, it's hard on staff, and I should also note it is hugely expensive for government. So it's really not, in my view, in anybody's interest to be operating influx shelters for extended periods of time like this.
Bob, we just heard, you know, Mark saying that it's expensive for government. I'm wondering, do we know who's making money off of these contracts to house these children? Are there any companies that stand to benefit from this?
There are two contractors currently running these influx shelters. The shelter in Texas is operated by a nonprofit based in San Antonio called BCFS, which is a former faith-based organization called Baptist Children and Family Services. It's still somewhat of a faith-based organization, but not quite what it was before, but it is a nonprofit. The one in Florida is run by a for-profit company called Comprehensive Healthcare Services. These contracts can be quite lucrative and, as Mark mentioned, incredibly expensive for taxpayers. So the government, I'm most familiar with Tornillo, obviously, living right here. The government published a notice in the Federal Register a few weeks ago that it plans to spend up to $368 million operating the Tornillo facility over the last 3.5 months of the year. That's $100 million a month just to operate this one facility. It is incredibly expensive. And so the operator, BCFS, is probably netting somewhere between $10 and $12 million a month to operate that if they do reach full capacity. So it's a tremendous amount of money for this nonprofit organization.
Mark, does that sound about right to you? And in your experience, is that the best use of taxpayer dollars?
So I can't speak to the per month. What I can say is that the influx shelters were much more expensive than standard shelters, three times as expensive. And that was one of the many reasons why one doesn't want to run influx shelters anytime that you don't absolutely have to.
And Mark, what do you see as the long-term impacts of this?
The biggest concern here is how long children are staying in shelters, that they're not being released to their families. And that has happened because Health and Human Services is increasingly playing the role of a partner in immigration enforcement. And as long as it operates that way, there is a risk that the number of children in shelters is going to keep going up and up.
Bob Moore is an independent reporter who covers the border. Mark Greenberg is a senior fellow at the Migration Policy Institute. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
And we did reach out to HHS for comment and have not heard back yet.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.